You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
School starts soon, and that has me thinking about education. Our two children return to school Monday. Elizabeth will be a sophomore. Katie's now in the fifth grade. It's not only children who are going to school these days. People of all ages are going back to school. Some are finishing their high school programs. Some are finishing their college degrees. Some are seeking advanced degrees. And classrooms aren't the only settings where people are pursuing knowledge. The church, the local Y, museums and botanical gardens, all sorts of agencies offer special courses to expand our knowledge. Education is at the heart of much that we do. So it's no big surprise that I've been thinking about education these days. You probably have been too. There's an interesting story in Genesis chapter 32. It's about Jacob. Last week I spoke about Elijah. Jacob lived a long, long time before Elijah. He was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Maybe you remember the phrase, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Well, that's the Jacob we want to talk about. His story in Genesis 32 is not about education. Of all things, it's about wrestling. But I think that Jacob's wrestling has much to say about education. The Bible tells the story like this. And Jacob arose that night and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go, unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Life does have its wrestling matches. For example, I sit down on the 15th of the month to make my car payment. On the 24th, I go uptown to make my mortgage payment. On the 15th and 30th, I sit down with my paycheck and checkbook, and I work on paying the bills. It's a financial wrestling match that we've all fought countless times. Sometimes it seems we win the match. Sometimes we lose. There are interpersonal struggles, too. Personality clashes, arguments, disagreements. Somebody gets upset with you because of something you did, or at least they think you did. The first church I served was in the country. Everybody would wave at everybody else unless they were mad at you. Then they wouldn't wave, which strikes me as a childish thing to do. There are these interpersonal struggles, wrestling matches, if you will. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Last May, I flew from St. Louis to O'Hare Airport in Chicago. I remember the flight well because of the two young women sitting behind me. They were talking so loudly that I couldn't help but follow their conversation. The one who talked the most talked about her live-in boyfriend. I hope you've gotten to know me well enough these last months to know that I don't approve of such arrangements. Anyway, she was describing her relationship with this man. Relationship, she called it, not love. She said the relationship was being threatened by his teenage daughter, a person she did not like. Well, she's talking about a real emotional wrestling match. Matters of the heart often seem like wrestling matches. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. On another trip to Chicago, I met with some students at Luther South High School. I might say that I spend a lot of time visiting with students in grade schools, high schools, and colleges. I want them to know about the work you and I are doing through this gospel broadcast. In the course of my discussions, we got onto the topic of Christmas decorations. The students said, "You put them up, you take them down, what's the use?" Now, for my part, I interpreted that to mean that the students are asking what is the enduring meaning of life. And it's not only students. People of all ages are wrestling with the meaning of life. And they're wrestling, too, with the question of self-worth. A few years ago, I was teaching the 8th grade confirmation class at my church in Collinsville. I told the children how they thought that the world revolved only around them. I, the children seemed to think. One of those 8th graders had the courage, and it takes some courage, to tell me, "Pastor, it's not that way at all. We don't see ourselves as the center of everything. We're scared that we don't fit in. What looks like self-centeredness to you is our fear of not being accepted." I'll always be grateful to that young woman for setting me straight. It's not only youth. There are a lot of people of all ages wrestling with the question of their self-worth. Some succeed in their struggles, and some, tragically, do not. So, school starts Monday in Collinsville. The children are hopping on their buses, and not only the children, adults are pursuing education in all sorts of ways. Much contemporary education is preparing children and adults to grapple with life's problems. I'd venture to say that most education aims to teach students how to cope with life, how to be better wrestlers, to use that image, how to wrestle more successfully with finances, how to wrestle more successfully with interpersonal relationships and with matters of the heart, how to wrestle with self-worth and esteem, how to drive a truck, how to grow orchids, how to program a computer, how to be a legal stenographer, and on. So much education is teaching people how to wrestle better with life. That's not wrong. Jacob wrestled too with how to make it in life. If it were possible for us to sit down with Jacob over a cup of coffee, I'm quite sure that he'd tell us that he often wrestled with the same feelings and problems that we struggle with. But there should be more to education than simply how to wrestle with life's problems. At the heart of education is something far more important. And that brings us to Jacob's wrestling match in Genesis 32. Jacob wrestled with God. You remember the story? It says Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. A man wrestled with Jacob, it says. Jacob identifies for us who that man was. He says, "I have seen God face to face." The heart of education should be a wrestling with God. For Jacob, that was a physical thing. He literally wrestled with God. You and I don't wrestle with God with our bodies, but our hearts and minds should be wrestling with God's will. That doesn't happen in a wrestling arena. No, it happens when Bibles are open. When people alone and in groups study God's Word. What did Jesus say? "If you remain in my Word," he said in John, "you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Wrestling with God happens in prayer. When you take your thoughts and feelings and lay them before God for His action, when you ask God to conform your will to His will. Psalm 139 speaks of that wrestling. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, that kind of wrestling with God in prayer and Bible study should be your daily schedule of continuing education. When you are with God in Bible study and prayer, you can say like Jacob, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And He will bless you. He'll bless you with a new understanding of who you are. Genesis relates that He said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And He said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Jacob received a new identity when he wrestled with God. He was given the name Israel, which means he struggles with God. The Bible educates us to our new God-given identity. That new identity is Christian. You are marked with the name of Christ. The Word of God comes to you and says, no need for you to continue being the person you were. You are a new person. Your past, your sins, your failures, your frustrations, the bouts with life that you have lost, they've all been buried with Jesus Christ when he was buried in the tomb. You are a Christian, one who lives a new life each day, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. St. Paul says in Romans, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now when we were baptized into his death, we were buried with him, so that as Christ was raised from the dead with the same glory as the Father's, we too will live a new life. Wrestling with God gave Jacob a new identity. It's the same for people today. I mentioned at the start of today's message that many people, especially youth, are struggling with self-worth. God gives self-worth. We're Christians. Our identity comes from Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. When all is said and done, your identity doesn't come from what people think about you and whether or not you fit into somebody else's standards. Your identity is not determined by so much in contemporary education. All these how-to courses don't change who you are. They simply help you cope better. At the heart of Christian education is a real change in who you are. When you open your Bible, when you take this message to heart, when you tell God your fears, when you trust Jesus alone for forgiveness and hope, then you're wrestling with God. Just as God gave Jacob a new identity, God tells you, you're a Christian. You are forgiven. You are loved because of Christ. And this education, this wrestling with God in word and prayer, helps you better than anything else to understand life's problems. Let's go back to Jacob's wrestling match. The Bible says that the Lord touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Because of that, Jacob limped for the rest of his life. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, Pastor, if you've got your health, you've got everything. I don't disdain health. I've been in thousands of hospital rooms and prayed for God's gift of health. But I don't believe that if you've got your health, you've got everything. What good is health if you don't have God's blessing? What good is health if you're unhappy with who you are, if you don't know that your true worth and identity is as a redeemed child of God? I don't think that Jacob would have traded his limp for all the health in the world, for that limp reminded him of the time he wrestled with God and was blessed. A whole new perspective on the pains of life can come to you through Bible study and prayer. What does the Bible say about afflictions in our life? Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, it says, and scourges every son and daughter he receives. Again, it says, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Remember what God said to another of his ailing children, the Apostle Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The conclusion of the matter are the great words of Romans chapter 8. In all things, God is at work for those who love him. An education in God's classroom teaches that the troubles of this life are temporary and not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Christian people, like Jacob, and I hope you, see problems as times to draw closer to God in Bible study and prayer. Sure, those problems leave their scars. Jacob had his limp. But God's marvelous love makes them reminders of his blessings. Only the divine course of education can teach that perspective on the pains of life. And obviously, that's a great blessing. What kind of blessing do children and adults get from their studies in secular disciplines? Largely the blessing of learning how to cope better in this world. And those studies teach us how to get blessings for ourselves by our knowledge and by our hard work. Wrestling with God in Bible study and prayer teaches us that God finally gives the blessing. Jacob said to God, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And that's exactly what God did. Genesis 32:29 says, "And he blessed him there." Wrestling with God in Bible study and prayer will do the same for you. Blessed are those who continue to listen to God's word, Jesus said, and keep it. This preoccupation with Bible study and prayer ought to be at the heart of your thoughts on education. I don't just mean your children's education, I mean your education too. When I received my doctor's degree from Washington University, the commencement speaker was Senator Paul Simon. He told us, "Don't let your diploma become your intellectual death certificate." Wrestling with God in Bible study and prayer is everybody's business, but especially yours. Let me tell you, if you've been content with 5 or 10 minutes a day for God's word and prayer, I think you'd better do some serious self-examination. If your prayer life isn't much more than an occasional "Our Father who art in heaven," then I'm telling you, I think you should be very concerned about your spiritual condition. I'm not saying that you're not a Christian. If you put your sins at Jesus' cross, his word of forgiveness gives you the name Christian. But St. Paul says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I don't think it's unreal for me to suggest that you be spending 30 or more minutes a day in Bible study, devotion, and prayer. Education is more than seeing the children off to school or picking up a little extra knowledge yourself. At the heart of education is wrestling with God's word and prayer. A good education in a secular discipline doesn't transfer to eternal matters. You may be a good doctor, lawyer, dentist, a good electrician, secretary, or carpenter, or whatever. Those disciplines don't teach you God's ways. God's ways are revealed. Only God's word can teach you his will. Don't let your knowledge of how to cope with the daily affairs of earthly life become your intellectual and spiritual death certificate. Discipline yourselves to a daily time of Bible study and prayer. Join a Bible study group at church. If you can't find a Bible study group, or if you don't have a church, write me and I'll try to help. What is it that motivates us to prayer and Bible study? It's God's word. A word that describes his heart filled with forgiving love toward you in Jesus Christ. Let me put a question to you mothers. These days you're seeing your children hop on school buses or drive off to college. You're dropping them off at school or latchkey on your way to work. Let me put this question to you. When your first child was born, I'm sure you loved that child with an immeasurable love. If and when a second child was born, did you tell your first child, "Now I can only love you with 50% of my love"? And if you had a third and a fourth child, did you tell your oldest child, "Now I can only love you with 33% or with 25% of my original love"? Of course you didn't do that, because love doesn't divide. Love multiplies. So also with God's love for you in the Savior Jesus. His love does not diminish as we grow older and win some and lose some of the battles of life. God's love for you in Jesus Christ is always multiplying, always striving to bless you. There's the motivation for prayer and Bible study. Jacob wrestled with God and said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." God's great love for you and Jesus is at the heart of education. He is ready to bless you. Amen.